Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Today, thousands of students will take, well, legitimately have a day off school. They can mitch if they want to. And I've spoken to many students who are now taking the day off and going wandering around some shopping centre because they're supposed to be at a climate change march, but they're not actually going to go. But I want to say something, and I spotted this and I thought it was extremely interesting. To all those school kids going on strike for climate change today, you are the first generation who have required air conditioning in every single classroom. We used to open the windows in our days. You want a television in every room, and your classes are computerised. We had one television if we were lucky. You spend all day and night on your electronic devices. We had a football. More than ever, you don't walk, ride bikes to school, but arrive in SUVs and private cars and buses that choke up local roads and worsen our rush hour traffic. We walked and we rode bikes to school. You are the biggest consumers of manufactured goods ever and update perfectly good, expensive luxury items like your phones just to stay trendy. I can't understand why you need the newest phone. You know, when your present phone is probably only 6 months old. Your entertainment comes from electronic devices. Furthermore, the people driving your protest are the same people who insist on artificially inflating the population growth through immigration, which increases the need for energy, manufacturing and transport. The more people we have, the more forests and bushlands and everything else that we have to clear and environment is destroyed to make homes for these people. How about this? Young people listening who might be heading off to this march today, tell your teachers and your parents to switch off the air conditioning in your schools. Walk or ride a bike to school. Switch off your devices and read a book maybe. Make a sandwich, a couple of cream crackers and butter instead of buying manufactured fast food. Tell your parents you don't want to go on a foreign holiday and you'd prefer a holiday in rural Ireland instead. Don't sit on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram all day and save energy. Stop following endless fashion and keep your current clothes longer and abandon all those brand names. No. None of this will happen because you're all selfish, badly informed, virtue-signalling little princes and princesses inspired by adults around the world who crave a feeling of having a noble cause while they indulge themselves in Western luxury and unprecedented qualities of life. Wake up, grow up and learn to research facts and think for yourselves and don't blindly accept the words and the thoughts of others. Don't follow in the footsteps of a bright young 16-year-old who has clearly been used and pushed as a mascot for this latest agenda. I don't think you are kind of formulated this action plan by yourself and I suspect you may have had some influence and guidance from those you trust. And a word of warning, be cautious of those who influence you on the liberal left. Because there may be a time in the future that you are the ones who will be left out. And if I listen to the news today that John played, there was some inserts from young children terrified out of their tiny little minds that the world is going to end. There will be no future for us. It's not like that. We were told that by Al Gore. We were told that during the time when we told there was a hole in the ozone layer. In 10 years we'll be all dead. Al Gore said the polar ice caps would be melted in 10 years' time. That was 35 years ago. It didn't bloody happen. We were told if we didn't fix the ozone layer with all our greenhouse gas emissions that we'd all be dead within 30 years. It didn't happen. We're now being told that if we don't do something in 7 years, sure, we're all going destined to die. Again, it's not going to happen. And if these lunatics, and these, as I call them, soap dodgers, which are the extremists on this particular side of the argument. And by the way, can I just point out something? I am not a climate change denier. And I don't think anybody is. Everybody absolutely understands what scientists are saying, that the climate is changing. Of course it is changing. We all know that. The impact we're having on it is questionable. So what I want to say to you all is research it yourself. Go listen. Listen to everybody. Don't just listen to one person. Listen to different opinions on the matter. I explained last night one of the best analogies I've heard from an eminent guy who said, if you describe the climate as the longest beach in the world, the most beautiful beach in the world of white sand, and he said, if you walked onto that beach and removed a grain of sand, that is the impact that we as human beings would probably have on the longevity of this planet if we did everything that these climate change activists actually want. Because if they were being really honest, the crusty ones, I'm talking about the ones that are, you know, heading these protests. If we're being really honest, they would want to obviously ground all the flights, take us all out of our cars and have us all on bikes, take away all our, I suppose, fancy electronics, because of course it costs money to make them all. It leaves a carbon footprint, reduce our energy, fossil fuels. At the end of the day, we'd have nothing. We'd be living back in the caves. And I, for one, am not willing to give up my luxuries and the luxuries of the 21st century that we have spent years designing on what I believe is just a theory. But here's the thing. The day off school today. Thousands of students will today take part in strikes across the country to demand more action from the government today as part of climate change. Of course, they're inspired by Greta Thunberg. By the way, I watched Greta's performance yesterday and, you know, as much as I believe, and I don't want to have a go with her, she's only a young girl, and she's a very bright, intelligent and wonderful young lady who clearly has been inspired by others and been told what to say by others as well. And whether you knew it or not, her parents are quite wealthy and quite involved in the whole climate change action. But anyway, students from schools and colleges across Ireland will take to the streets to demand action on climate change. And this is the third climate change in several months. I didn't see any of the students out during the summer. That would have been, of course, disappointing for them to have to go out on their days off during the summer. Why do it when you can get a day off school? After similar action in March and May, green issues have been pushed to the forefront of political conversation in Ireland in the last year, inspired as part of the work of Thunberg. And in May, the Green Party benefited from the surge in support in the local and European elections. The strike is being organised by the Schools Climate Action Network, Fridays for Future Ireland and School Strikes for Climate Ireland. And in a statement, the Minister for Communications said climate action and from Climate Action Environment, Richard Bruton, said that he had heard the voices of those protesting today. I think we heard the voices of them already. We probably don't need to hear it again. But anyway, Bruton is travelling to New York today ahead of a meeting of a key UN summit on Monday on climate change, and he will also attend a youth climate action summit on Saturday led by Thunberg. They have a message for governments, but also for every sector of society. Now is the time, they say, to take action and protect their future. The government has faced repeated criticism for not doing enough to tackle the climate change. While the majority of schools and colleges are expected to take part in the strike, support is not unanimous. The Irish Times reported yesterday that Blackrock College in Dublin had told parents to ensure that their sons did not take part in the demonstration. In Dublin, students will gather at Customs House Quay at 12 p.m. before marching pardon me, to Merrion Square beside the government buildings. In Cork, people will gather at the City Library and march along Patrick Street, Parnell Place in South Mall. In Leitrim, a team of volunteers will, a local secondary school, erected a heart-shaped light installation. And the strike today is all part of a global movement calling for urgent action. Yesterday, the High Court ruled against a group of activists who argued that the government's climate change plan was in violation of obligations under the Constitution and the European Convention on Human Rights and under Ireland's climate action and low carbon development. Speaking yesterday, the Green Party MEP Grace O'Sullivan described it as a call out from young climate and environment activists to all people around the globe. But today I want to know, do you support it? Do you support children taking time off work, or should I say school? And on the line to talk to me, children taking time off school to protest, is journalist and columnist with the Irish Independent, Lorraine Courtney. Lorraine wrote an article titled, Skipping School Won't Deliver a Brighter Future. Climate Change Needs Grown-Up Thinking. And she joins me on the line. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Niall.
How are you, Lorraine? How's things today?
I'm good.
Well, Lorraine, is it worth them taking a day off work? Will it make a difference?
It's going to make absolutely no difference at all. But to me, you know, this kind of new green awareness just seems a little bit like a bandwagon where there's an awful lot of virtue signalling going on. And to me, like today's school strikes are just that. It's virtue signalling. You go along, you take your day off school, you take your selfie and you post it on your social media feed. Or very often your parents are doing that, going, isn't my Johnny fabulous? Look at him here striking for climate change.
Isn't he a wonderful little lefty?
And like you said, Niall, it's a bit disappointing that they weren't out all summer long, and no doubt many of them were off on their foreign holidays.
They didn't turn around to their mammies and say, Mammy, we don't want to go to Tenerife and leave a huge carbon footprint as we travel.
Exactly.
We'd rather go to Leitrim in the car and use up less fuel. But I mean, exactly. You're right. And I completely agree with you, Lorraine. I think it's complete virtue signalling. And look, if they wanted to do it, they did it once back in May. They did it again in March. And you're right, they didn't do it during the summer because that would have been inconvenient. But they did it again now. And it's just a legitimate Mitch Day, isn't it?
Exactly, it is. You know, and calling it a strike is just completely disingenuous because, like, you know, a labour strike actually, you know, it makes a difference. It also costs that worker that's going on strike money. They don't get paid for that day. This is just kids getting a day off school and no more work for the weekend.
All it's costing them is their education, and to be honest with you, really, isn't it?
It is, and I'm sure the teachers are delighted with the 3-day weekend. And you know, it would be a much stronger signal, wouldn't it, if they chose tomorrow to go out?
But they wouldn't do that, but sure. Why would they do something like that? That means they would have to do it in their own time and not school time. And I spoke to some students this morning who told me they were sent off from their classes. They're in fifth year to winter town. Well, I said, so what are you going to do? She said, oh, well, we're going to go to the local chaplain centre and hang around for a while. And I said, right, okay. So it's just an excuse for a day off. But realistically, I mean, what do you say to people, Lorraine, who will have a pop at you, they'll have a pop at me because I agree with you, and they say, oh, yous are nothing but climate change deniers.
Oh, I'm not a climate change denier at all, though. But I think it's just kind of reached this very superficial level at the moment, that it's, I find it quite irritating. You know, things being imposed on us, like, you know, how you go on social media and you see someone, like a blogger, going, look at me with my metal straw. My boyfriend actually pointed this out to me yesterday. He said, did you realise, like, you can get metal straws nowadays? But, I mean, now, who needs a straw? Like, I can't remember the last time I drank from a straw. So it's this kind of, like, really superficial things, like, look at me, I'm riding the green wave and aren't I fabulous?
Meanwhile, Mammy brings them to school the next day in the SUV.
Like. This is it as well. And, like, I think it's also that a lot of people don't really understand the issue that, like, each of us as individuals, we can do so little. Even Ireland as a country, like, let's stop beating ourselves up as a country when our emissions are like nothing.
Oh yeah, we're a drop in the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've explained this to people. When you consider that 4% of the atmosphere of this planet is carbon, and we as human beings only produce 0.03% of that, or 0.8% of that. Yeah. You can imagine the tiny percentage that Ireland is involved in, considering we're quite a green country anyway, and we're, you know, we kind of do quite well. I think we're quite good when it comes to all that kind of stuff anyway. So, I mean, really, we're not really having any effect.
We're not. And like I said, I think we need to stop beating ourselves up about it. I think we need to stop. I need to think, you know, what needs to happen is... green energy definitely probably is the future, but at the moment, even though they work, we don't have an effective means of storing them, and that's the problem. We're losing it. Yes, of course we could generate like huge amounts of wind energy in Ireland, but at the moment we can't store it. So we need that technology. So you know, at the moment now we're subsidising green energy on each of our electricity bills that have jumped massively over the last few years. So I think the government is using green issues as another way to kind of tax us.
Well, I would imagine so. The virtual signalling is costing money at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. It's costing us an awful lot of money. And like, what needs to happen is we need the technology. We need to put research into ways to conserve and to store green energy, and then we can use it absolutely. But until then, like, it's a bit pointless, and it's just costing us a fortune.
I mean, I'm looking here, somebody says, now, just to reinforce your point, RT News last night was trying to get more girls to cycle to school, visited at a school with 800 pupils, and calmly said that only 20 kids cycled to school out of 800. It's amazing. I mean, when you go back to my day, I'm 56, by the way, my birthday's tomorrow, just in case you were wondering.
Happy birthday,
in my day, nobody got a lift to school from their parents, because most parents were lucky to have one car, which was usually being used by dad going to work. So we either walked or we cycled. Everybody did it. I mean, these students really have a lot to answer for, because they ultimately are a generation responsible for using the most amount of carbon, if you really want to go down that route, with all their electronic devices and their days in on PlayStations and the amount of energy they use on a daily basis rather than kicking a football.
This is it, and I think, like, this is why, like, there is so much hypocrisy attached to, like, what's going on right now. And like, I'm someone who, like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s when the ozone layer was a big thing. I have actually always been kind of conscious of the environment. You know, I would be quite kind of like mindful of waste and that, and I think I've always tried to live like,
I think so. I think it's a common sense approach, isn't
like,
it?
Yeah, exactly. But like, what I'm seeing at the moment and what I'm being bombarded with is actually turning me against it, and almost makes me want to go out and
do the opposite.
Do the exact opposite, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, look, a very interesting article and a good read, I have to say. Lorraine Courtney from the Irish Independent. Listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and I appreciate you coming on the air. All right, so Lorraine believes that taking the day off school today is not the way to achieve anything. A common sense approach should be taken to climate change, and that really, that all, she says, all these little princes and princesses out there, all they're doing is virtue signalling on behalf of mammy and daddy. Do you agree with her? Is it a pointless protest? Do you agree with all these protests on climate change? Do you really believe it's going to make a difference? And the idea that people are climate change deniers is nothing but nonsense, because most people in this world absolutely agree with scientists that yes, the climate is changing, and changing quite drastically, and will over the next few thousand years, because we are exiting an ice age anyway. So it is going to change. But can we do anything about it? Are we really going to make a difference? Is this little tiny little country going to make a difference to that 0.4% carbon in the atmosphere? Do you think we can? Ireland has a very high per capita CO2 emissions, mainly due to our unsustainable beef and dairy production. I would hate to hear that the farmers hear you say unsustainable, but however. Well, probably it's the size of the country and the population, but when you look at the top 100 countries in the world and carbon emissions, we don't even factor. I mean, obviously the top three would be America, China, and probably India, but we don't factor into it at all, so I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, keep texting. The number is 0871880008. I'm asking you, do you support the protest today? I'm not asking you, do you believe in climate change? Because I would hate to think that you didn't believe the climate was changing, because then you'd be completely off the beam altogether, wouldn't you? Let me go to Cormac. Cormac, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Cormac?
How are you getting on? I'm good, and yourself?
Good. Cormac, you're the social media coordinator with Extinction Rebellion.
Yes, I'm one of them. There's a group of us that run the social media.
All right, okay. So what's the real plan today? We've had two already, two marches, May and March, and now we have another one. A lot of people are saying, you just heard the journalist there from the Irish Independent saying she believes it's virtue signalling by young children and just an excuse to take a day off school.
I think that's an absolute disgrace that a journalist is slandering children for basically standing
it's
up for their future.
She's not slandering children.
Okay, right.
She's an opinion.
That's an opinion. That's fine. But yeah, what she's saying is that these children are virtuous, and they're not. They're clearly standing up for their future. You know the science. You know it's happening all around us. Climate change is already killing people all over the world, and it's going to affect us in the near future.
Give me an example of where, say, climate change is killing people.
Any of the most recent storms, like if you look at the any recent
But storms are a factor of weather that have been happening since
climate change exacerbates it, because when the weather gets warmer, more air.
But the weather, over the last 10 years, the temperature's actually gone down.
That's an absolute lie. Okay. I'm sorry, right, but if you look at the last 16 years, 15 of them have been the hottest on record. Last month, we recorded the hottest temperatures on the planet in multiple locations.
That's a very valuable statement there. All right, then, multiple locations. All right, because in relation to the weather in the world, or the current climate of the world, over the last 10 years, there has been an increase. Look, we had an increase during medieval times as well, which went back down again. There's been an increase over the last 150 years, and I'm going to tell you exactly what the increase was. The warming is a whopping 0.8 degrees over the last 150 years. Let me just finish. The warming has tapered off to essentially nothing in the last decade and a half.
That's not true. It's actually 1.1 degree.
That actually is true. That's 1.1 degree fact.
Since the start of the Industrial Revolution, it's gone up 1.1 degrees.
I'm reading you the facts here from the World Meteorological Society.
I've looked at the IPCC report, and I know for a fact
over 150 years. Degree. Well, I'm telling you what it says here. Well, then obviously scientists are disagreeing with each other, or organizations are disagreeing with each other, including the World Meteorological Society. Okay, the warming, they say the warming of the world is 0.8 degrees over the last 150 years, and the warming has tapered off to essentially nothing over the last decade and a half.
What's your point here?
I'm making is that when we talk about natural disasters, which are tragic, by the way, when we talk about, you know, when we see typhoons and tornadoes and hurricanes and all these natural disasters all over the world, we've seen all those long before we even suggested climate change, or long before climate change or people who talked about climate change were around. Sir Al Gore was telling us the world was going to end in 10 years if we didn't do something.
Okay, right. So on the climate change ones, if you look on natural disasters, if you look at Texas, they've had 2 1-in-1,000-year floods in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at that. Things are getting more frequent, they're getting more extreme, and this is going to continue to happen until we start ramping down the amount of carbon that we're pumping into the atmosphere.
Okay, so be honest. Carbon. Be honest with me, Cormac, and tell me, what do you believe? What do you believe we need to do as human beings? If you really believe we're having the impact that you believe we're having, What do we... Be honest and tell me what we need to do.
This is from a person. It's not from Extinction Rebellion. From a personal perspective, we need to radically decarbonize the society. We need to stop burning... I'm going to give you a list, right?
Okay.
Stop burning fossil fuels, the coal, oil and gas. We need to start using renewable energy. So wind power, wave power, solar.
16 kilowatts per turbine and wind power. That's not going to even power a house.
They're small ones. If you look at the industrial ones, someone can power 1,000. So you're looking at like a tiny one if you're looking at those scales.
We would never be able to supply enough. Okay, but we could use absolutely sustainable energy.
Just one sec.
Okay.
So
we can use this. I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way.
Okay, brilliant. So Ireland has the second highest capacity for wind generation in the world. Mm-hmm. We could power all of our country, and we could also supply energy to Europe, to the UK.
We would need some amount of wind turbines, but go on anyway. Yeah.
Yes, we would, but that's possible. If we don't start doing that, you're going to see massive changes in the climate. We already are.
Okay, so, we also don't have the technology to store that electricity, by the way, just to point
out. Okay, yeah, batteries are improving on that, but yeah, we don't have the technology at the minute to be able to store it long term.
So it's not really doable right now.
Most energy is used during the day, so we don't actually need to store that much of it. So I'm going to keep going here for a second.
Okay.
So renewable energy,
yep.
That's number one. Stop burning fossil fuels. We need to start planting a lot of native trees. So
let me just go back to the fossil fuels. Forest. Let's do one at a time. The fossil fuels, I absolutely agree we could reduce the fossil fuels we use. I think stop using them, I think, is a bit of a pipe dream. I think we could certainly reduce it. Home heating could be changed to heat transfers very easily.
Yep,
it would be cost effective, and I think the government should grant that and should make sure that people get grants to do that. And we could certainly help to, you know, I suppose, change our homes to, say, make them more energy efficient, that we don't have to use as much heating. So I'm agreeing with that, but I don't believe we can get rid of fossil fuels. I think that's a bit of a fantasy. But
why not?
Because we can't just get rid of... If you set a date, 2030, fossil fuels, bye-bye. You can't do it.
We still need them.
What about industry?
Can you give me some actual reasons?
Industry needs it.
So the industry, so the oil and gas industry, they're destroying the planet. They're not giving any sort of benefit to society.
How did you get into town today? Did you cycle?
How did I get in? I got the train.
Okay, what was it? Was it DART?
No, it's a train from Newbridge. So, yes, it's powered in fossil fuels, but that's a societal shift we need. Just, like, we can only operate within the society.
But I want to go on holidays during the summer. So what happens? Do we ground all the planes?
So you get a boat.
I am not getting a boat to America.
Why?
Because I don't have enough time off work.
Why do you believe that you have the right to go to America?
Because I do. Why do you believe you have the right to stop me?
I'm not saying that. I'm asking you the question.
I'm not getting a boat to America.
Right, then don't go to America.
I will go to America. This is the problem. You're telling me how to live my life.
You're pumping it.
And I'm not telling you how to live yours.
I didn't tell you what to do. I asked you a question.
You said, why don't you get the boat?
Yes, that's a question.
Because I'm not going to get the boat. I want to get a plane. I want to get there quicker.
You do whatever you want, but I know I'm going to do exactly what I can to prevent the climate disaster that's coming towards us.
What's the disaster? When is the disaster going to happen?
Right. So we're heading for 4 degrees of warming. That is a fact.
That's not a fact. It's a fact that's been disputed by many scientists.
Look at the IPCC results and check out we're between 3.9 and 4.6 degrees of warming in the next century if we do not change our course.
No, that's so an absolute and utter scaremongering and it's wrong.
You need to read the science.
I have absolutely read the science. That's scaremongering and it's wrong. We're not. I can tell you now, if the temperature of this planet increase by an average of 4 degrees over the next century, we will all die.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so you're telling me in 10 years we'll all be dead.
No, I didn't say in 10 years. I said in the next century.
Oh, next century, sorry. In the next century, we'll all be dead.
In the next century.
Sorry.
No, I'm not saying that. But we will die. We're on that trajectory. I didn't say it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I agree with you.
We still have time.
That's scaremongering.
I'm not scaremongering. I'm reading the science.
You're not reading the science.
Can you let me finish?
Sure. Yeah, come.
Okay, so we've agreed to 2 degrees of warming, right? The Paris Climate Agreement. And we've aimed for 1.5 degrees. Yes?
Go on, keep going. Yes, I know about the Paris Agreement. Yeah, and America have completely abandoned it, but go on.
Yeah, which is a disgrace, right? So we've almost abandoned it as well. So European countries have planned to reduce emissions by 2030 by 45%. You know how much Ireland has planned to reduce it by?
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
10%.
Okay, we're a small island. We're not.
So what?
With the exception of our beef and dairy, we produce very little carbon.
That's actually not true. If you look at the amount of imports we have...
Do you know how much carbon is in the atmosphere? Do you know how much carbon is in the atmosphere?
In gigatons, no.
No. Do you know what percentage of the atmosphere is carbon?
No.
4%.
Okay.
Do you know what percentage of that 4% that human beings are responsible for?
No, can you tell me?
0.03%.
Okay.
Do you know who the biggest emitters of carbon are in the world?
Go on.
Termites.
Termites?
Termites.
Okay, right.
So should we eradicate termites just in case?
Okay, no, I don't think we should eradicate termites.
Can we just stay
on the 2 degrees of warming here?
I'm asking you a question. If termites are responsible for more damage than human beings, which they are, and that's a factual statement.
I don't know if that's factual.
Well, it is factual. Let me assure you it is. Should we eradicate them?
Okay, that's carbon. That's one thing. If you look at the environmental destruction that we're causing in other areas, so rainforest destruction, pollution of our water.
And I agree with that. That's common sense. We need to take a very common sense approach to the way we pollute our planet. And I am absolutely in agreement with you.
Okay.
And I think we have come a long way in relation to that over the last 20 years. We've a lot more to do. We've come a long way. But getting back to the carbon, which is what the climate change is all about, not about the pollution.
It's carbon and methane. Methane's actually the more powerful one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stick to the 2 degrees, the Paris Climate Agreement. So we're way off target for hitting that. The Irish government and the taxpayers are going to have to pay hundreds of millions of euros over the next decade because we're not hitting that. So our government is failing us. They're failing to actually protect When I asked in a poll
here on the radio station, and everybody was going on about climate change, who's willing to pay an extra 5% in their salary in tax, you know, for a climate tax or a carbon tax to save the planet? Nobody said yes.
Yeah, because the cost should be put onto the massive polluters like the pork corporations, the oil corporations, the massive businesses who are causing this destruction, not an ordinary people in the city.
Yeah, okay, and I'm with you on some of that. I think the polluter should always pay. Absolutely with you. But I'm going back to your original points that you're suggesting that to really, you know, get really deep into this, we should all go around in boats, we should cycle our bikes, we should stop eating meat. I mean, why don't we just go back and live in a cave?
I'm not suggesting we go live in a cave.
Just one sec.
I think we should all do our best to reduce our own impact on the environment. And for me, that's reducing my meat intake. It's not flying anymore. It's using more public transport. There's a lot of things you can do individually.
So are you never going to leave this country on a plane again? Are you never?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I've been to England twice in the past.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Cormac, you're a young man.
Yeah.
And I'm not being patronising to you. You're a very young man.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, you have friends. You're obviously in college. Are you finished college? Just finished college?
No, I'm doing a master's in climate change, media and policy.
All right, okay. I'm fair play to you. And I wish you well, all right, in the future.
Appreciate it.
But I hope you get a very good job and you have a good career, which will involve you travelling around the world. I then would hope to think that, you know, you will use your common sense and jump on a plane and not spend, you know, 4 days on a boat travelling to New York.
I get you. On that, a lot of climate scientists are starting to push for a flight strike, basically, where instead of going and flying to these conferences, they Skype call in. We have all this technology available.
Well, that's great, Cormac. You do that if you want to. See, the thing about what annoys me about this whole thing is you have your feelings on it. I have mine, right?
Yeah.
I'm not denying the climate is changing. I know we're exiting an ice age currently at the moment, and I'm sure if you're studying it, you'll know that yourself, right? Okay. So you do what you feel is the right thing to do. And then let others do what they feel is the right thing to do. But the problem I have is that the demand from climate change activists is that we all do as they do.
Okay, it's not do as we do, it's do what you can. If you are choosing to fly, then that's fine, that's your decision. But I'm going to encourage people to make the biggest changes they can because it's going to eventually impact us. It's my generation.
But I do think the scaremongering is going to have a reverse effect, to be honest with you.
I don't think so. If you look at the amount
because
of
we've heard the scaremongering before.
Just one sec. So the amount of awareness that's been raised over the past 6 months, 9, 10 months over the climate strikes and over Extinction Rebellion getting out in the streets has been massive. So
but the scaremongering has been
around.
But hang on. We've been scaremongered by scientists or some scientists, not all scientists. Because not all scientists agree that the human being or humankind can have an impact on climate change. Not all scientists agree with that.
Okay, so that's actually not true. So the Geological Society of the World has come out and said that we're in the Anthropocene, which means that humans have had a massive impact on the environment, big enough that it's similar to a meteor strike.
We had that too there a while ago. Could be about 10 or 15 years ago. We were all going to be destroyed by asteroids.
Well, that's a different topic.
The figure being thrown out by climate change activists at the moment is that 97% of scientists agree.
Okay.
Well, and here's the question. Agree with what? Because nobody's... You know where that figure came from?
Are causing global warming.
No, it's quite simple. It's a nonsense figure. Do you know where that figure actually came from, the 97%? Do you know where that figure came from that's being quoted constantly all the time?
Go on.
It came from Obama. It was a tweet that he put out about 4 years ago. And it has since been debunked. It was originally came from a guy called John Cook, who's from a website called Skeptical Science, where he said of the papers he analysed, there was 97% of scientists agreed that the world's climate was changing. Not that we were having an impact on it, but that the world's climate was changing. That's where that figure of 97% came from. Scientists are split down the middle in relation to how we as human beings are having an impact or what we should do or could do to change things.
Okay, I don't understand. I know the thing you're talking about is 97%, but saying scientists are split down the middle is just not true. If you look at any of the top scientists in the world, so look at the IPCC, all the governments in the world put their best scientists forward onto the IPCC.
They put forward scientists that would agree with their agenda. Yeah, go on.
That's your opinion. They put forward the best climate scientists in their countries, respectively. So you have a collection of the best climate scientists in the world together, and you're saying that they don't agree on it.
No, they're putting forward scientists that agree with what they want them to say.
That's your opinion.
And as soon as they come out and produce a paper, a published paper, they become ridiculed. That's what happens.
That's not true.
That is absolutely true. There are many scientists around the world and geologists around the world who are not denying climate change, by the way, who are telling us exactly what's happening, but they are denying that some of the nonsense that's coming out, like, for example, the rising sea levels change in different parts of the world all the time. For example, in Ireland, the sea levels have actually dropped. This nonsense that the Irish sea levels are rising, I don't know where it's coming from, because it's actually not true.
Okay, so what do you think happens when the ice melts in the Greenland and in the
ice Arctic? Melts all the time. The ice has been melting since it formed in the first place.
Yeah, obviously, but if you look at the amount of ice that's increased, the amount of ice that's fallen,
the polar
over the
ice caps
are has been massive.
Yeah, but you do understand that polar ice caps are reversing, don't you?
That's just like as in the poles are reversing.
Yes, and will reverse over time.
I think you're talking a bit of nonsense here.
Okay, you think I'm talking nonsense?
So look, 13 billion tons of ice fell off in one day.
Okay, but let's get back to the kids because we're wasting a lot of time with that. Let's get back to the kids today. I just think it's wrong to use children. I heard some of the clips on the news there a few minutes ago, right? And I hear some of the kids, you know, almost terrified. Some of these kids, kids don't just see it as a day off school. They don't give a shite, right? But other kids, almost terrified that we're all going to die.
Okay, if you were 15 or 16 and you're looking at this science that's telling you that you have this terrible future coming towards you, that we're heading for 4 degrees warming, and that's a fact. Let's say this future happens. We're looking at mass starvation. We're looking at sea levels rising. We're looking at massive natural disasters.
You're scaremongering again, Cormac, but go on.
Let me finish. Extreme weather events increasing are a fact as the planet gets warmer. So that's a fact. Sea levels will rise with that. That's a fact. Let me keep going.
You don't call the ice age an extreme weather condition, no?
The ice age is a natural thing that happens.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's natural. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. Yes.
Climate change is clearly a difference. So you're saying what? I don't know where you're going with this.
You're talking about extreme weather conditions and the way the climate is changing at the moment has affected that. But yet we had extreme weather conditions many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, and you're not bringing them into the conversation at all. In the medieval times, by the way, Extinction Rebellion seemed to forget about medieval times in this world where temperatures had risen as well.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about there. I'm going to get back onto this. The students are standing up for themselves, and it's worrying that you're actually challenging that. They're trying to stand up for their future here, and you're trying to make them look like they're scaremongering or that they're...
I don't want to see young people terrified.
Terrified, either do I, but it's the future that they've been put into because our governments and our corporations that are meant to be looking after us. Our government's meant to be standing up for them. They're doing nothing. So the children of this generation are screwed because of our government.
My.
And
oh
it's
my.
Worrying that you're actually challenging this. So
it's worrying, so, is it? Should I not be allowed to challenge you, Cormac?
I'm saying it's worrying because
it's
you
worrying.
Clearly, yeah, because you've looked at the science because I know you have. You're well versed, and you don't think that we're headed towards a dark future.
Well, I certainly don't have the same outlook on the future that you have, Cormac. That we'll all be gone in about 100 years' time.
I don't think that. I think that's a possibility if we don't change.
That's not a possibility at all,
isn't it? No. Right. Well, then you need to read into the science more.
Alright, well listen, I've run out of time, Cormac. Good luck with the protest today. I hope it's successful for all your sakes, and I hope he's got as much support as you want or you're looking for, but I still believe we shouldn't be telling everybody else what to do if they believe something different. Niall, you're 100% right. My two kids are off school today, are meant to go to the climate change march, but the two of them are actually in the house and one of them's upstairs playing his PlayStation. Well done. Hats off to Cormac. We need more of you and thanks for your sacrifices. Stop, would you? Niall, you agree with global warming? No, I didn't say I agreed with global warming. When did I say that? I just actually, I told you already that the planet or the temperature of the planet has actually gone on over the last decade and a half, but you weren't listening to me, obviously. Niall, you agree with global warming and climate change, and yet you're hell-bent on going to America. Thanks for your sacrifice. We don't need more of you. Don't take offence. I don't. We have to set a proper example for our children. We look like some fools if we're wrong, says Archie in Dublin. Well, Archie, we probably will look like some fools if we're wrong, but I don't think we are wrong. I mean, the whole idea of suggesting to people that you should stay at home and not go on holidays in an aeroplane just because you might be worried about the carbon footprint is complete and utter nonsense. Niamh, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Niamh?
Hey, Niall. How are you?
Your son is out marching today. He's been a little virtue signaler, is he?
He is. His backside is in school.
Right, okay.
He got a lesson in climate change today because I told him it would be a cold day in hell before he went marching in Dublin.
Right, okay. So does he? Has he been talking to you about it? Have the school's been scaremongering him?
No, they haven't for a start. He's only 9, but at the end of the day...
Did you hear that guy before the break there?
He was very angry.
He was very angry, and the world is going to end in the next 100 years, for God's sake. This is the nonsense they're telling children.
Look, at the end of the day, he gets a lesson in climate change or in saving the environment every single day because we walk to school every single day. That's our bit. Well, we have to do it because I don't drive.
Honest, Niamh, if you had the availability of a nice SUV, you wouldn't be walking.
No, I'm allowed to be smug because I don't have a car, so I'm walking, so let me be smug.
Be smug.
He walks to school every day. And you know what I think is much better than just getting them out and giving them a day off school? I like the idea of, you know, the way they do in December, they do Earth Hour every year.
Yeah.
Turn off everything. Let them see what it's going to be like if the lights went off. We had a power cut the other night and my family seemed very nice.
Oh, they go out of their mind.
The first time we've spoken to each other in months. And this is what could happen. So, you know, show them that...
But they're not willing to sacrifice. These little kids that are out there today, they're not willing to give up their mobile phones and give up their trips to Tenerife or whatever it is.
They'll still have the pictures up on Snapchat. They'll still be videoing it. You know,
they still want to wear Nike runners and not pennies. You know what I mean?
You know, there's a lot, okay, climate change is a great thing, but ask them where their Nike, you know, if they're so virtuous, where are your Nike runners made? Probably by a person earning 3 pence an hour.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot more to do. I think it is brilliant that kids are more aware. I hate that wake or woke word.
The woke.
But I think it's brilliant that they're aware, and I think it's brilliant that they're lecturing us. But at the end of the day, I do think that one day marching in Dublin isn't going to be as effective as turning off things in your house. Tell them, switch off those lights after you. It's not Blackpool. You don't need every light in the house on. Turn off the immersion when you're finished. You don't need to keep refilling the kettle. Use the same water. Stuff that we can teach them. We don't need to give them a day off school to let them go marching for one day. We need to do this every day. And walk your kids to school. Leave the car at home once or twice a week if you can.
But you look at that research that was done in the school that RTE did. 800 students in the school, only 20 of them cycle. What's that about?
I understand that Dublin, I mean, I don't live in Dublin, and I understand Dublin roads are totally different to where I live. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let my lad walk to school because it's a 20-minute walk there and it's a 20-minute walk back and there's 5 main roads to cross. He's 9.
But hold on, I was 11 when I started walking. I was actually younger, I used to walk to primary school too, because it was only up the road really, to be honest with you. But when I started in secondary school, from Edenmore to the De La Salle College, about 2.5 miles, right? And it was a busy road, there was main roads. Now, I understand it was 35 years ago, and there probably wasn't as many cars on the road, but it was still dangerous for, you know, a parent to let the child go off if they wanted. But it didn't bother us. We still did it. I walked across the Raheny Road, the Kabarak Hill Raheny Road. It was a main road.
And well, I grew up in Dublin as well, so yeah, I mean, I walked to school too.
Well, then
it doesn't bother me to walk them. It's good for me too, to be honest. It stopped me being the size of the house I'm living in. So it's healthy. It's healthy for me. It's healthy for him. And do you know what? It's actually the only time of the day that we have an uninterrupted conversation.
Okay, well, look, Niamh, I have to go to break. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, loads and loads of people texting in. Most people, by the way, disagree with Cormac and think he's scaremongering. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping 087-188-0008. Do you believe these climate change marches are a waste of time? Do you believe they're misinformed? These children are being scared half to death by people who are telling them the world is going to end very soon unless they all stop flying, using cars and eating food. Gosh, from the text screen, Niall, how dare you suggest you're not willing to play your part in ending this catastrophic problem of climate change? What are you talking about? What, I'm not allowed to have an opinion? Oh, I must just agree with everybody. Is that what I must do? I must just agree with the rest of you. Well, to be honest with you, I don't. And this idea, somebody else said, Niall, it is true that 97% of scientists agree with climate change. No, the figure, let's be clear about it. If people throw that figure at you, and the climate change activists will throw this figure at you, that 97% of the world scientists agree. But agree with what? They agree that the climate is changing. They agree that we have some impact. They agree we have a large impact. They agree we have a catastrophically large impact. They agree that it's so catastrophic that we should actually use fossil fuels. What you'll find is that people don't want to define the 97% because there is no such thing. As I said, that 97% figure came from Obama, who tweeted it after he saw it on a website by a guy called John Cook, the skeptical scientist, who had read some papers by different scientists regarding climate change, saying that, yes, the world's climate was changing. And 97% of those published papers that he read said the world's climate was changing, but nothing to do with the fact of how we reverse that. And, you know, the idea that 97% agree that we should ban fossil fuels is complete nonsense. There's nowhere in any literature that actually says that. 97% of scientists don't believe that. That's complete and utter nonsense. There are some that believe that. There are that don't, that believe that it'll make no difference. So let me get back to the conversation. Now, before we do, by the way, can I mention as well that we've got a trip to Orlando to give away. Yes, you and your partner and two little kiddywinkles could be heading off to the most wonderful theme park capital of the world, Orlando, Florida. Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, and we'll even throw in a ticket to the Orlando Magic basketball game. So for you and a partner and two kids, all with thanks to touramerica.ie. You got to come on the air. You got to name as many celebrities as you can in 40 seconds with the clues that I give you. I didn't do too bad on Tuesday. Yeah, I got a winner out on Tuesday. Yes, it was a bit of a disaster, unfortunately, for me. Damien seems to be the king at giving out the clues. He gives out some really good clues. I don't know where he just plucks them out of the sky. I have no idea. But anyway, I'll give you a good chance of winning. Anyway, you got to come on the air. If you want to be the person who's randomly picked to come on the air in about 20 minutes' time to get yourself into that draw to win that holiday to Orlando, all you got to do is WhatsApp or text right now the word WIN to 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me get back to some of our callers, by the way, and some of the texts, by the way, are coming in relation to climate change. A lot of people are not too happy with Cormac scaremongering. Let me go to Joseph. Joseph, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Joseph?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Joseph, you know, every little kiddie is out there today. Well, no, most of them are actually not. Most of them are at home mitching off school today because it's a good way of getting the day off school, isn't it?
If I was in school, I was delighted with it as well. I remember in the 80s when we went out on strike against the teachers going on strike.
That's why I remember that. And you know who I feel sorry for today? The school secretaries. Their strike was today. And nobody's even mentioned them. God love them.
I know, they really had their turn to stolen. Yeah. I forgot about that one, actually. But the bit there that I was going to say was, here's a guy, right, who says he's ringing the alarm bell, okay? You've given him the airways to warn people, and suddenly when you ask him a few questions, he tucks tail and runs.
Yep.
That's for anyone with a little bit of a brain there should kind of go, hang on a minute.
The temperature is going to rise 4 degrees in the next 100 years, which means, by the way, we couldn't sustain that as human beings. We would die. We're all going to die in 100 years.
Look, the simple reality is they grew grapes in the south of England in Roman times, okay? And then they had to stop because the climate got colder. And now they're able to grow grapes again. With the help of technology, by the way, because they can spray them to stop the frost damaging them.
But why do the climate activists forget to tell us about the medieval times?
Well, you see,
it doesn't kind of suit the argument, I suppose. It
doesn't suit the agenda. Well, you see, look, I've come to realise this. I'm not going into a religious topic, but this is their religion. This is what
it has become a bit of a cult, hasn't it?
It has, and the reality is, right. This guy said, he made a statement there, right? He said all fossil fuels must remain in the ground, and I just go, oh my God, this guy wants to bring in a worldwide famine. And I simply say to him, you know, that he's gone, you see. You can't ask him the questions. He won't answer them.
Well, fossil fuels are used for more than just cars and heating and transport. They're used for industry. They're used for everything. You know what I mean?
No, the diesel engine feeds you. Most people don't realise that. So is this guy going to get his horse and his plough and go out and plough the fields and feed us instead? How does this stuff get brought to the supermarkets? And by the way, I guarantee you, he was ringing from a smartphone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's made in China, more than likely. and the power came from a filthy, rotten, black smut factory with no filter, or a coal factory with no filters on it whatsoever.
By the biggest polluters in the world, China.
Well, the reality is, right, they're all attacking Trump. So let's even go along with his argument. They're attacking Trump for reopening power, right? The scrubbers on the coal plants in America. There are none in China, and China has no CO2 emissions carbon taxes whatsoever. That's why British Steel are going out of business. It's because of the carbon taxes. And what this guy would do to the West is he would deindustrialize the West. Everything will move to China. It'll all be pumped out. There's no scrubbers on the factories. There's none on the chimneys. So this guy's phone that he was probably talking on was made from the power of a filthy, dirty black coal plant with no scrubbers, horrendous working conditions.
But he did say he'll never travel on a plane again and suggested I go to America.
The same energy. But yes, he'll turn around and he'll say, I can't drive my car. You can't. British Steel must go because it's a polluter. Oh, Trump is evil because he's opening coal plants. Yet all of these plants have scrubbers on them and there's a lot of regulation there. All he's
okay, but there's a text in here. And somebody says to me, now, which is an interesting question. What was the population of the world during the last ice age? And I'm just looking here. Researchers say the total population of the world during the end of the last ice age stood at between 1 and 10 million people, surprisingly. And after 2 million years of development in the previous ice age, the human population collapsed to near extinction. Because this is cyclical. Climate is cyclical. And at the moment, we are exiting an ice age. Yes, it is probably going to get warmer over the next few thousand years, without a shadow of a doubt, because that's just the way ice ages work. And at some point, we will become extinct. But I don't believe there's anything we can do about it.
No, the reality is, you know, the most accurate forecasters of long-term weather, they can't go like, you know, it's going to be weather, but they could forecast the general. What was actually studying the sun, but then the UN passed a law saying the sun has no effect on our climate, which is absolute insanity. But these guys who come on spouting their stuff know none of this, and then even if we go and believe what he's telling us. You ask him the question, what is going to feed us if all the fossil fuels remain in the ground? And by the way, they are roaring and screaming carbon in this budget for to us.
Your line is breaking up, Joseph. Sorry, go ahead.
America is going to increase the carbon tax. Does everybody realize that that's going to drive the price of food up, wages up, and make us more uncompetitive? We can't compete with China and India. Then they have no carbon taxes, and they are going to have none, and they have none written into the Paris Climate Agreement. So we're going to lose.
Well, the only factory that would be really happy would be Tata Steel in India. They'd be delighted.
Yeah, but we lose all the heavy, I'm saying, like the likes of British Steel are in trouble because of the policies that Varadkar is going to push, more carbon tax, which is it drives the price of food up, it drives the price of work up, it drives the price of...
So the point you're making is, if these Extinction Rebellion and the ones that are driving this at the moment, if they were being honest, they want us all to live in a cave.
Well, that's the only way we literally have to go live in a cave. You wouldn't be allowed to light a fire because if you use trees, you're burning carbon. If you use coal, you're burning carbon. You'd have to have a solar panel. But how is that solar panel made? Again, it's made in China using a filthy, dirty power plant, which has no scrubbers on it. By the way, they're opening, I think it's one or two a week, the size of Money Point, pouring out black smut. As someone was telling me they came back from China. There's some cities now, right, they have to wear face masks. And by the time they get to work, they have to wash their face and get a new face mask for going home. Now, this is where all of the heavy industry is going to. It's regulated in the West with scrubbers.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me just go to John as well, because, John, you support today's protests.
Well, I do. I think the way you're talking today is indicative of the system we have in the world at the moment, like Brexiteers and Trumpites. I mean, you seem to think you know everything, and you.
No, I don't.
You preach there now that you're not a scientist.
Sorry,
this guy, you're not a scientist.
And neither was the guy that was on the phone to me.
No, he wasn't a scientist.
But he was. So why aren't you giving out about him and his pontifications?
Well, if you give me a chance.
Okay.
You know, if you give me a chance, I think you people are coming around. You're being wholly irresponsible. Like, what we're being asked to do is quite simple. Like, we're not being asked
I'm being wholly irresponsible.
I think you are.
Okay, give me an example of how I'm being wholly irresponsible.
Well, you're trying to tell us that we have to go back to living.
That's what he was suggesting. That's what Extinction Rebellion would have us do.
But if you
what would happen if we stopped using fossil fuels? John, use your head.
Did you want to talk to me, or do you want to?
I want to talk to you, but you're calling me wholly irresponsible. I've asked you a question.
What's the question?
What would happen if we all stopped using fossil fuels, as suggested by Extinction Rebellion? What would happen?
Well, I think you'd have an economic collapse,
Of course you would. All right, okay.
Well, no one's disputing that. Like,
so that's wholly irresponsible to suggest.
No one's suggesting that you stop using everything overnight.
Well, they just did. I've just had their spokesperson on the air for the last 20 minutes suggesting that.
I heard him there now. And the vast majority of climate action people are not suggesting things like that. They're looking for a map of a way forward. That we can't take a chance on these. We can't gamble on the future, and just say, oh, nothing's going to change. We just can't. It's the same thing with the Brexiteers in England. Oh, nothing's going to change here. It's all going to be fine with no deal Brexit. It's all scaremongering. It's all Project Fear. It's all this here. You know, you can't gamble. These things aren't worth gambling about. I have children.
Well, hang on, Joseph. Let John finish what he wants to say.
You know, what we're being asked to do is, I was brought up on the countryside myself. And you see the countryside nowadays. Like, it's completely different from what it was when I was brought up. You have heavy machinery going there, polluting waterways. There's hardly any fish in the rivers. Well, I used to fish when I was young. I live in the city now, yeah. But the fish are gone. There's people spreading slurry in the fields. There's farmers, to me, are being subsidised for creating vast amounts of beef that we don't need at all. Like, it was been and striking, and people have been subsidised living on small farms, and all these. Whereas people could this money could be used to better to try and enhance.
Nobody's doubting that, John. There's absolutely no question that we need a new agricultural policy. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that we don't. And I do believe that we need to look at the way we produce beef and the way that our agriculture is dealt with. But that's still not going to save the planet.
Well, it's a start, isn't it?
It's not a start. It's not going to have any impact at all.
Well, that's your opinion,
No, it's not an opinion.
It's just an opinion.
Hang on for a second. In the big scheme of things, and I said at the very start of this show, the Earth's atmosphere is made up of 4% carbon. We as human beings are 0.3% of that. Okay, and you can imagine the impact Ireland as a country, when you take the bigger countries like America, China, India, who have large manufacturing plants and power plants, and the damage that they would do in comparison to the damage that we would do and our farmers would do. If we culled every cow in this country, we would have zero impact on that carbon.
No, of course not. I don't agree on the world scale. We would never.
Then what are we talking about?
What we're talking about is everybody on the planet takes a point, and we need leadership on this thing. And that's why young people are crying out for leadership, for a proper leadership.
Young people don't know what they're talking about.
There was a lot of people said that in the past in this country about young people. They don't know what they're talking about. And that came out later on, that young people had a voice and young people should be listened to. So please don't say to
me... Young people, we have a responsibility as adults in this country, as the educated, as the mature, as the intelligent ones, to guide young people. But unfortunately, young people are being guided and misinformed and scaremongered. I listened to them on the news, terrified by people coming out with nonsense.
I don't believe that. It's David Attenborough talking nonsense.
David Attenborough only came around to it in the last year or so.
No, it's not true at all.
And the man is 90-something years of age, for God's sake.
I was watching
David. I could also say David Bellamy is the man who's also been banned from television just because he uttered a word against it.
Yeah, well, I have watched David Attenborough all my life, and you watch all his programmes.
I've watched David Bellamy too, and I always thought he was credible.
I remember David Bellamy up there in the north of Scotland. There he stopped the whole forestry scheme because of a carbon sink. Let's go back 20 years ago.
Yeah, but David Bellamy was on TV there recently saying that recently he's been banned from the BBC, almost banned, because he turned around and had the gall to say that human beings don't have an impact on the climate.
Yeah, well, I can't...
So different folks have different strokes, don't they?
I can't speak for the BBC. I can't speak for the BBC or what their policy is. it seems to nowadays where you're living in.
I'm just curious, John, as to why you believe it's irresponsible for me to suggest that I might have an opinion, but it's not irresponsible for another person who's a spokesperson for a climate activist to say that, you know, the world is going to end essentially in 100 years' time.
You're more or less saying give up.
I'm not saying give up. I said far away, do what you want to do. Don't tell me to do.
Well, I'm just saying, you're saying that. Well, don't bother listening to any experts. Don't listen to me.
I didn't say that at all. I could bring on an expert who would, John, who would be scientifically minded a lot better than you and I, and will tell you you're talking nonsense. I could bring on a million experts and they'll all disagree with each other.
Yeah, well, that's majority of them. I read recently there is something like 85% of scientists, climate scientists, I believe in
this. No, they don't. That's completely false. That particular statistic that you're talking about is actually 97%. It was put out by Obama, and I already told you where it came from. If you'd been listening to the show, a guy called John Cook, who had read some papers by climate scientists, and the question wasn't, do they agree that we would have an impact? The question was simply asked, do you agree that there's climate change? And I would be surprised and quite horrified if 100% of scientists didn't agree with climate change, because of course the climate's changing.
Yeah, and do you not think now that the climate is changing, and the fact that this era we're living in now at the moment is now the biggest industrialized era ever in the history of the world? Okay, there's no era in any time in the past.
That's because our population is growing. Yes,
like, absolutely, and you're producing all kinds of stuff in China and America and everywhere.
Yeah,
so. Is it wrong to stop and say, maybe we're doing something here because of our huge population, because of all our industrialization? Is it not possible?
No, there's nothing wrong with that, John, and there's nothing wrong with a common sense approach to the way we do things and the way we pollute the planet for the health of everybody who's living on it, apart from anything else. But to suggest that if we continue going the way we're going, that the world is going to end in 100 years is a complete and utter nonsense.
Good look at the sea.
Hang on, Joseph wants to say something to you, John. Go ahead, Joseph.
John, you believe in we must do something, right? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Walk along any beach in Ireland. And look at the amount of stuff that's been washed off on the beach.
That's nothing to do with climate change. That's an environmental pollution problem that we should all take part in.
You know that? How do you know?
That's nothing to do with the. But hang on, plastics on the beach have nothing to do with the climate. Lads, let's not confuse issues here. Please, John, let's use our common sense here in the conversation, right? Plastics on the beach and the use of plastic and disposable plastics or reusable plastics, we all agree with that. We shouldn't be polluting the seas. That has absolutely nothing to do with climate change.
Do you think the microorganisms in the sea don't absorb carbon out of the atmosphere?
Let Joseph ask his question to you, please.
First of all, as regards the plastic and the microbead plastic, makes a serious problem. I don't disagree with that at all.
Nobody disagrees with that.
John here believes in climate change, right? In that we're causing it. So I want to ask him, does he agree with carbon tax? Do you agree with carbon tax, so?
Well, in carbon tax...
One of the main thrusts of what they're going to do is carbon tax. This is what the law...
So long as the money is ring-fenced.
No. We'll ring-fence it, right? Okay, so you agree with carbon tax. So now... the Chinese, you know, under the Paris Climate Agreement, have no carbon tax. The Indians, no carbon tax. You know that, don't you? So the minute you put up carbon tax, more jobs flow to the east, to China, who is the biggest dictator in the world. You see what they're trying to do to Hong Kong. So, by putting up carbon tax, you're willing to now go in and pay more for your food in the shop because food prices will go up. You understand that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And you do understand that, don't you? So you want, and because the diesel engine is what produces the food in the West. Tractors plow the fields, big combines bring in the wheat, and the lorries bring the food to the supermarkets. Do you understand that? So if you drive the price of fuel up, you are going to take money directly out of your pocket. You're going to make the economy uncompetitive. You're going to drive the price up of food to poor people. And any lunatic who says, oh, by the way, we'll switch to methane, that's going to take millions of acres out of food production, which will reduce food even more and drive the price up even more. So what is your solution to food production? Let's just think about
that. Can I answer that question? Well, food production, for a start, is heavily subsidized. I mean,
that's not the question I'm asking you.
Well, if I put drugs to heavy substrates,
question I'm asking you.
Well, you're asking me about
I'm asking about carbon tax, and I'm asking you about the food.
But I asked the question of carbon.
How was it
going
to be produced?
Well, it's produced the same way. It's just
how can it be produced the same way? It's being produced by carbon.
Are you a farmer yourself?
I know all about farming, okay?
I
know
how
this works. I know all the process.
Farming.
I think he's asked, John, I don't have all the degree out in circles on this. I think he's asked you a simple question. If we go by what Extinction Rebellion are saying, that we should just stop using all fossil fuels, we will have to stop the production of food. That's basically it, because we don't have enough electronic vehicles, in factories or on farms to produce food.
There isn't any.
But no one's saying that. I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what they're saying.
But you are saying. This is what this guy is saying. RTE went on to O'Connell Bridge and they interviewed one of the head of Climate Extension Group.
But I didn't say that. Am I speaking for myself here or am I speaking for some other guy?
But you are agreeing with this climate change guy and I'm asking you a few pertinent questions.
Sure, everyone agrees with climate change. Even Niall Boylan agrees with climate change.
Well, everybody agrees the climate changes. What we disagree on is how we can reverse that or if we can actually reverse it. I need to go to David as well before I go to the break. David, you're on Classic Kids.
John, basically, what's the problem with the world is exponential population growth in developing countries, and we have to stop that. I don't know how it's going to happen in education, but that's going to destroy the planet, and more are coming over here for a better life. We can't support them. Now, climate change is I think it's anomalous. We are contributing, maybe. But we can't stop it. And the Greens, and you've got these Dublin 4 politicians in Dublin. I'm living in the country and, trying to provide for my children. These young people are out protesting and they don't know anything about life. There's a young child from Europe. She's headed going around giving speeches to all the lefts.
Greta Thunberg, yeah.
Absolutely. These are stupid people. Their hearts in the right place.
In fairness to Greta, Greta's a lovely child and she's a very intelligent child, but she's taking her information and her lead from somebody else. And her parents are quite wealthy and they're involved in the climate change activism.
I'm not calling that child stupid. I'm saying the people, the Green Party in this country, I'm paying enough taxes. Don't put any more taxes on me, for God's sake. I have enough paying. I'm working. I'm not on the dole. I don't get a free house because I come from some other country. Take your fingers out of your ears, guys, and look at your people in the country. We are suffering. I'm being overtaxed. I can't pay any more. And the boys want in Dublin and the Fine Gael Dublin 4 crowd and the Liberals and the left and Murphy and the rest of them want to tax us over the existence. And John, I'll take off. You brought up Donald Trump. And you brought up Brexit. He was voted in, and he's doing a bloody good job in America, bringing people the jobs back from China. Well, there's no regulation over there, but he's bringing them back to his own people. And Brexit's there for their own people. I hear this in the radio all the time from socialists, leftists, and liberals. Get a life.
I wonder if you visit Orlando, because we're talking about climate change, will you have to go on a boat? If you had to go to Orlando on a boat, you'd need to take a month off, wouldn't you? Take a week to get there and a week to get back. Actually, taking more than a week, I think, to get there by boat at 30 knots or 40 knots or whatever they bloody travel at. Oh, can you believe that this is what some of these protesters actually want? They want us all to go back to the Stone Age, back to before the Industrial Revolution. And Joseph had a really good point in relation to this idea that they, as far as they're concerned, right, good climate change action would be to stop using fossil fuels now, or at least, by 2030 or something like that. How are we going to produce food? Everything we rely on relies on fossil fuels at the moment until we have better technology. And there is technology out there like wind, for example, wind power. But unfortunately, wind power, as far as I know, only produces 16 kilowatts, which is not even enough to produce, produce electricity for one house for the whole of the year. So, I mean, it's not going to work out. We have to wait till the technology is available before we can abandon fossil fuels. I have never heard of an electric tractor or an electric combine harvester. Are they going to go out and plough the fields with cows? I don't know what they're going to do. Well, let me know what you think of these kids who are going out today. I think most of them, with respect to them, most kids are reasonably intelligent, but they're led by us. The adults, sadly, they're misinformed by people who represent the likes of Extinction Rebellion, who will give them this, I personally believe, scaremongering that the world's temperature is going to go up 4 degrees in the next century, which essentially means we would all die and we would become extinct if we don't do something. We were told this 40 or 50 years ago. We were told it 20, 30 years ago as well. We were told that the ozone layer would eventually kill us all if we didn't stop using aerosols. Now, aerosols are back out again. A lot of people still use aerosols. We were told that global warming by Al Gore would be that we would have no polar ice caps within 10 years. That didn't happen. None of these things happened. We were told asteroids would kill us all, that they would hit the planet. Didn't happen. We were told loads of things, and it didn't happen. By groups and activists who have some sort of an agenda, and I don't figure it out. I can't figure it out. Is it about just people paying tax? Is that what it's about? I just don't see the point. Just ask us to pay tax if that's what you want. Peter, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Peter?
How's it going, Will?
Peter, I mean, do you support all these? I mean, my heart goes out to all these kids. Some of them are out there for the right intentions because they're kids and they're misinformed. But, I mean, do you support them?
No. Before, if we don't get to talk to tomorrow, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks very much, Peter.
And then
I'm going to Belfast this weekend. I've decided, you know, I'm feeling guilty now about this climate change. I should walk. I think I'll walk to Belfast.
You can't even use a bike because the rubber was made in China and the steel was made in China.
True. So steel was probably made in Tata in India, yeah.
You'll have to take your runners off because they were made in Nike factory over in China.
Yeah.
Or else if you wear Adidas. I think it's just all these things come about every few years and they're scams. Remember, the biggest one was the millennium bug and everybody getting all these things into their computers. A big scam.
Nothing actually happened.
Sorry?
Nothing happened in the end. Nothing happened.
And thank God that the climate is raising the temperature here in this country because we can have better summers. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think industry sees it that way or farmers see it that way, but however, yeah, go on. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
From your point of view. Like,
from my point of view, this country is, I wouldn't say produces as much carbon as any other country
in
the world.
No, it doesn't. We're not even in the top 100.
Well, it's a self-sustaining country that if we had to survive as an island on our own, we could survive with the livestock, everything that's produced in this country. And for our country to be given a carbon tax and to be given a threshold of how we have to get our emissions down and all, I think it's just, I can't understand it. I just, for the life of me, can't understand it.
I personally believe it's turned into a cult at this stage.
Exactly.
When I listen to some of the extremists.
People, yeah. All these people that are out there today, some of them are out because, right, they want something done about it. Some of them are out to have a good day out. And did you see the state of the place they left, the way they left the O'Connell Bridge the last time they were out?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
The irony of this is that as we speak at the moment, and I'm sure David's going to mention this on the news very shortly, but Helena just said it in my ear, the traffic has come to a standstill in Dublin, right? So now we have buses and cars and diesel engines and petrol engines sitting at a standstill for probably about an hour and a half, emitting more carbon than ever before because of the march.
And having to reroute their journey home, a longer journey home, burning more fossil fuels.
Yeah.
You know? And then what about all the years of this country burning turf? And like, you remember as a kid, you'd be coming home from the city and all you'd smell is coal and turf.
That's right. You thought it was like a foggy day.
yeah. And like, nothing happened then, like, you know what I mean? And this country, like, we have 4 days of summer a year. Let us keep them, will you? You know what I mean?
Okay, well, stay there for a second. I think that's a bit simplistic. But let me go to Michael. Michael, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Michael?
Good afternoon, Hinal. Gia Gutsch.
Gia Gwit, Michal.
Ah, father-in-law, Miramé Conchlat. Now, we'll talk Irish and see, I'll get the fossil fuels down.
Yeah, what's he say, Peter?
Right. I do support a protest against it. Now, nothing we just referred to there, so simply is that we're stuck on the traffic jam on O'Connell Bridge. I got caught there no length ago at all. It was a truck. I knocked it off. I didn't waste my diesel. And I think every other vehicle around with, I could see, we all knocked our vehicles off. Yes, it takes you a few minutes more time to do it. But we did burn turf donkeys years ago, and you're talking to the right man because I cut the turf. That was that. We burdened it. And it's like everything else in the world. We're far ahead today, superior brain-wise and academic-wise, than we were in my time. Like, I qualified my own time. I'm not going to say I'm not. But if I had to go back today and sit the same exam for the same qualifications, I'd get laughed out of it. I wouldn't have an earthly clue. Times have changed. Everything under the sun has changed.
But the one thing that hasn't changed is we still need industry to produce food. We still need farmers to raise cattle and to grow crops. So that hasn't changed. And that will never probably change.
No, we need, like, the herds of cattle, that, yes, indeed, there's a lot of gases coming from the farm activity. But, like, all along, and the burning of coal and torch, like, I can remember so clear as day when the trains ran on coal, and you could hear the whoop, puff, 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 coming, you could see the smoke.
What's the point you're making, Micheál? Because we don't do that anymore anyway.
We don't do that anymore. That's what I'm saying. We don't do that anymore. But the build of that up over all the centuries that led us to where we are at the present time.
If we knew
as much 20 years ago as we know today.
When you think of the impact that we would have had 100 years ago, for example, right, would have been very small. I'll tell you why. Because the population of the world was only 2 billion people. It's now 8.5 billion people. So the impact that we would have had, with burning the turf and burning the coal and all that, wouldn't have been half as bad as that impact we might, if we to believe the experts, be having now.
That doesn't make any sense, Micheál. We're more educated. We're a bigger population.
Okay, we are more educated. But why? I still don't know why you're supporting. I mean, everybody believes the climate is changing, right? There's nobody disagrees with that.
We're supporting it because the government are not doing sweet time all about it.
But what do you want the government to do about it? What do you want them to do?
I want the government to tramp down and give grants for people. I don't know what the farming industry, but I feel sorry for the farmers. I don't know what we can do on it.
There you go. You don't know what we can do. You want the government to clamp down. I'm asking you to clamp down on what?
Clamp down on vehicles producing serious emissions.
And so what? So let's take all the cars off the road.
It'll be diesel emissions. And give them a grant to convert to electricity.
Because there isn't a technology there at the moment for electricity. What are you talking about, Micheál? We wouldn't have enough electric cars. B, electric cars at the moment with the technology that's available are not the answer because we don't have anywhere to stick them, to plug them in. Half the towns in Ireland don't even have somewhere you can plug a car in. They don't go very far. They're not much use if you're travelling any kind of distance because sadly they don't have, they only cover about 200 or 300 kilometres. So they're not the solution. So how?
A friend of mine goes to Cork. And he plugged in his car. He drives to Cork. He doesn't have a bother.
I'm going to Belfast today. I'm not going to stop halfway up to Belfast and plug my car in for an hour and sit there like a gobshite.
No, but if you had your car plugged in here in Charles before you left and go to Dublin, my thing goes to Cork, not a bother. And you should be able to go. This is what I'm saying, Niall. There should be more incentive.
And by the way, those cars, the batteries that are the lithium-ion batteries that they make those cars, the damage they are doing to the environment making those batteries is actually worse than 100,000 miles on a diesel car.
Well, that's education to me now, because I didn't know.
Well, there you go. All right, okay.
Education, but there should be better. Should be more grants installed for people that, and you have to draw attention to the climate change.
All right, some of the texts coming in. This is the heart leading the head again. The politicians are simply exploiting children for their future vote. Another person says, "Sure, if we don't boil oil or coal or burn, I'm assuming that is, if we don't burn oil or coal, then we'll just have to burn the trees." Let me go to Molly. Molly, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Molly?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Where are you from, Molly?
I'm from Galway.
All right, okay. You're on the way to the protest now?
Yeah, I'm going to head into town now, yeah.
Okay, what time is it on in Galway?
I think it started at 1, but I think the kids started walking to...
You're a bit late, so, aren't you?
12:30.
You're a bit late.
I am a bit late, yeah.
Right, okay. And where are you going, Molly?
Well, I just think it's important that adults stand with children in this issue, because I think it's really sad that it's actually come to school children feeling that they have to sacrifice their education in order to be heard.
But they don't have to sacrifice their education. They could have done it during the summer or the weekend.
That's not really how strikes work now, is it? I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of a strike.
But it's not a strike, it's a protest. They use the word strike, but by definition it's a protest.
It's a school strike, so they're striking from school, so they're leaving their classes.
Okay.
And they're striking from school.
But most kids are actually not there at the protest. Most kids that I've spoken to are using it as a DOS day.
Well, I don't know who you've spoken to, but I think a lot of kids are out there because they're worried about their future, they're worried about maybe their children's future, and they feel very powerless and very helpless, so they're trying to do something.
But so what do they want to do? Are they listening to the people who are organising this, who are Extinction Rebellion, the people who have put this forward, who are pushing this?
Well, actually, it's Greta Thunberg who does Fridays for Future, and she started striking.
Yeah, well, you do know that Greta Thunberg's parents are multimillionaires who are involved in climate change, and it's just not an accident that she happened to be the person that is out there. You do know that, don't you?
No, probably not, because maybe she was educated about it from a young age.
Well, no, she was educated by somebody else. She's a lovely young lady, and she's a very educated.
And how is everyone else educated? I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
The point that I'm making is that when we become...
Everyone else is educated by themselves.
Well, if you're going to let me finish what I'm going to say, well, I'll tell you what I think. I think that she's a very educated young girl, and she has a view, and that view is given to her by somebody else. She didn't just learn it herself. We are all given views by somebody else. We're guided.
Yeah, so she has informed herself, and she's decided her opinions, and she's trying to do something about.
Did you watch her last night in the UN summit?
I didn't see that.
She didn't have her script, so she had to use her memory. And unfortunately for her, on this particular occasion, what she said made absolutely no sense.
Right.
You know, so I mean, she's a lovely young lady, and she's certainly a young lady that people should be looking up to as an example. Young people, but I don't believe we should be taking everything she's saying with a grain of salt, or should I say, as factual, because it's not.
I don't think you should take anything anyone says with. You know, we should be critical about everyone
absolutely.
That we're listening to.
And I think it would be fair to say we all agree and we're all concerned about the climate and we're all concerned about the future of the planet. There's no doubt about that. But there are scientists arguing all over the world about the impact that we as human beings. And are we really willing to sacrifice our modern lifestyles, flying on planes, driving cars, eating food, which is produced using fossil fuels? Are we willing to sacrifice all that? So maybe there's a chance that somebody, some scientist is actually right, and that in a million years' time, we live an extra 1,000 years.
Well, so what's the alternative? The alternative is that we keep living the same way we've been living.
So are you
going to... Keep producing the same amount.
Are you not going to travel on a plane anymore, Molly?
No, I am travelling on a plane.
Well, then we're all hypocrites, aren't we, really? If we're not, Molly, with the greatest respect, I'm running out of time, but if we're not willing to sacrifice, and if you're not willing to sacrifice, I'm not the one promoting it here. You are saying it's a wonderful idea. If you're not willing to sacrifice, leave your car at home and cycle everywhere and not go away in an aeroplane, well, then I think the whole thing is pointless, isn't it? And so is the whole march. Sorry, Molly, I've run right out of time, and I do apologise to you.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.